you knew that he cared. He cared for you. Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that Jesus cared? He cared for you since you knew that Jesus cared. He cared for you.
Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew 14, and the Bible says in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Our Father, we come before your throne tonight, humble that we are in your presence. I pray, God, tonight that as your vessel, you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these, thy people. I pray for this, thy holy word, that would encourage hearts, it would strengthen hearts, at the same time, challenge hearts. We want to be better. We want to do more. We want to go further. None of it's possible without your help. So, Lord, do a work in and through this service today and get the glory from it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We find ourselves in this text right on the heels of one of the greatest miracles the disciples would ever see. And that is the feeding of the 5,000. You'll remember, according to the word of God, that when these 5,000 were fed, the Bible says it was beside women and children. Sources say it was somewhere between 15 to 20,000 people that were fed, all from one little boy's lunch. Now, I'd like to say to you, that, my friend, is a miracle. 5,000 men, plus women and children, fed by the bread and the fish that was multiplied by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine the joy, the excitement. You can imagine how enthusiastic and ecstatic The disciples must have been right after the Lord Jesus Christ had fed 5,000 people. They were there when that boy brought the lunch. They were there when Jesus blessed it and broke it. They were there as they watched him multiply it. They were there when all did eat. They were there when 12 baskets were left over. It happened right before their eyes. I can imagine around this time, these disciples were probably thinking, it's a great thing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're around the right person. We have enlisted in the right army. What a wonderful thing. Hey, listen to me. They should have known right then, no doubt in their minds, we are doing the right thing. We are in the center of God's will. We're exactly where God wants us to be. Why? Because the man we're following is feeding 5,000 people with just a small lunch. What a joy it must have been to be there. And yet right after this, they go from the high of watching Jesus perform a miracle to the lows of facing difficulties on their own. And from that moment, that quickly, the joyful, excited, rejoicing, enthusiastic, motivated disciples, just a few verses later, have lost all hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in the middle of their misery, makes a statement that I'd like to use as the message tonight. Notice the word from the Lord in verse number 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, you say, preacher, what does that mean? Here's what he's saying. Hey, enjoy yourself. Cheer up. Smile. Maintain your excitement. Keep your hope alive. You say, pastor, how could this be possible? They were on a boat that was tossing and turning. Pastor, how could this be possible? They thought they were getting ready to lose their life. Pastor, how could this be possible? It seemed like all hope was gone. Pastor, how could this be possible? It felt like everything that they just had experienced with the miracle Jesus had performed had now been turned upside down. But no, Jesus wanted them to understand something, that regardless of what you're going through and regardless of what you're facing and regardless of what happens in your life, I'm still with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And nothing that happens in your life ought to steal your joy, ought to steal your excitement, ought to steal your contentment, ought to steal your happiness. You can be in the deepest, darkest hour, but it is still the will of God for you to be of good cheer. Now let me say something to you that is very clear to me as a pastor, as I lead God's people as best as I know how. It is common for me to find Christian people who have quickly transitioned from joy to sorrow. Sometimes it's in the same day, morning service to evening service. Sometimes it's evening service Sunday to Wednesday night service. You say, pastor, how can you tell? Listen, it shows on their countenance. It shows in their church attendance. It shows in their giving. It shows in their testifying or lack thereof. It shows with their dialogue. It shows by the way they conversate. It shows by their body language. Something happened between the last time I was happy that stole my joy. Something happened between the last time I was rejoicing that stole my excitement. Something happened between when God was blessing and now all of a sudden I feel like God is trying to kill me. I'm trying to tell you, beloved, tonight that if you'll search the scriptures, and I've got list of every time you see this be of good cheer mentioned in the word of God. Jesus was never saying be of good cheer because everything's going to be the way you like it. He was never saying be of good cheer because the situation that you see that you think is dismal is automatically going to change. He's not necessarily saying be of good cheer because what you want you're going to get. Be of good cheer because of what you want gone is going to leave. Be of good cheer because who's bothering you is going to go away. No, the principle is this. Be of good cheer because I'm here. cheer. Be of good cheer because I'm still alive. Be of good cheer because I'm your Savior. Be of good cheer because I'm your friend. You know what I'm saying tonight? I want to talk to believers who sometimes go through things in life where it feels like you're on top of the world. And not long after that, you're struggling. You're battling. You're going through difficulties. You're going through trials. You're facing tests. And you begin to say to yourself, I thought God was on my side. I thought God was in my corner. For a moment there, it looked like we were smooth sailing. And all of a sudden, I've come up on some things in my life that have stolen my joy. I want to challenge you tonight that when you go to work tomorrow, regardless of what you face, be of good cheer. When you face your circumstances this week, regardless of what happens, be of good cheer. When you enter scenarios that were unexpected, unpredictable, and oftentimes unpleasant, I'm saying be of good cheer. You know what we need? We need Christian people who will smile anyhow. We need Christian people who will rejoice anyway. We need Christian people who will testify no matter what. We need Christian people who have joy regardless. We need God's people who will realize that my contentment, my excitement is not based on what's happening, not based on what I'm facing, not based on what I'm dealing with. My joy is based on the Lord. Now watch me. I'm looking at some people tonight that you're not as happy as you used to be. And you know it. You lost your joy. You let what's happening in your life dictate whether or not you rejoice in the Lord. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you something. As hard as you're working to make it look like you have it together, you're giving yourself away. I can see it. It's reflected in your response to preaching. It's reflected in your singing during the hymns. It's reflected in your demeanor during the service. It's reflected in your involvement in ministry. You've lost your joy. You've lost your contentment. You've lost your excitement. And by the way, some folks need to come to the altar tonight and just admit, I don't have the step I used to have. I don't have the skip I used to have. I don't have the jolt I used to have. I don't have the bounce I used to have. But I can't blame it on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't say he failed me. I can't say he forsook me. Listen to me. I know very pertinent, very personal, very private information that some of you are dealing with by way of family, by way of finances, by way of physical, by way of relational. Some of you, your world has been shaken. Some of you, you've had some difficulties show up in your life that you didn't expect, and it's caused you to sulk, and it's caused you to sorrow, and it's caused you to complain, and it's caused you to gloom. I'm saying this is the will of God for every believer that come what may you ought to be. Of good cheer. Cheer up tonight. Cheer up tonight. God wants you to be of good cheer. Now let's be honest. We're temperamental. We are temperamental. We are fickle. Watch this now. We're moody. Yes. Moody. But guess what? Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I want to encourage you. Why tonight? You can be, why and how you can be of a good cheer. Number one, you can be of good cheer because Jesus has given us his presence to comfort us. Let me say that again. He has given us his presence to comfort us. Now notice if you would, beloved, the scripture in Matthew chapter 14, he has just done a miracle. Notice the command they follow. Verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now let me say this to you. You know why it's possible for you to have joy in the middle of what you're going through, even though what you're dealing with is not something you necessarily enjoy? Here's why. If you know that you're dealing with it in the middle of doing what he told you to do, you can have good cheer. In other words, if the boat is shaking and it's the boat he told me to get on, I can have good cheer. If I'm in a storm and I'm in a storm in the middle of the place he told me to be, I can have good cheer. You say, Pastor, why is it sometimes that I cannot have good cheer? I'll tell you why. That ship you got on, he didn't tell you to get on. That place you in, he didn't tell you to go to. That corner you in, he didn't back you up in. But if you're going through trials that are happening in the middle of your obedience to God's word, be of good cheer. The command they followed. Notice the crisis they faced. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Hey, let me tell you something. You're not going to sail through life without storms. Listen to me. You're not going to sail through life without storms. Pastor, it's hard. Welcome to the Christian life. Hey, let me tell you something. It ain't always going to be about eating catfish and cornbread like it was a few verses later. Sometimes you got to go through the storm. You understand? You got to go through the storm. There was a crisis they faced. Notice the confusion that they felt. The Bible says they saw somebody walking on the sea, 26, and they thought it was a spirit. In other words, they thought it was a ghost. They saw something. Hey, listen to me. If there's anything worse than being afraid, it's seeing a ghost while you're afraid. Now, can you imagine you're already in a storm? The boat is tossing and the boat is turning and you feel like you're dying. And to make matters worse, this spirit shows up out of nowhere. You know what it says to me? It says to me that if they had been focused on the Lord, if they had truly been committed to the Lord like they should have, they would not have mistaken Jesus for a ghost. And you know what? Sometimes that which scares us in the middle of our crisis is that which is there to help us. And when they saw this spirit and they saw this ghost and they start to be afraid, notice the conditions they feared. The Bible says they cried out with fear. Do you understand that? Notice what the Bible simply says. When they saw this spirit walking on the water, they begin to cry out with fear. But thank God, verse 27 says, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, watch this now, be not afraid. Hey, aren't you glad that in the middle of your storm, he knows how to find you? Did you hear me? I said, in the middle of your storm, he knows how to find you. Notice in the midst of the command they followed, the crisis they faced, the confusion they felt, the conditions they feared. But notice, thank God for the Christ that they found. Amen. Aren't you glad that he showed up? Hey, it is I. It is I. Can I say to you, no matter what you're going through tonight, that you're not alone. You're not facing it by yourself. That in your lonely seas, that Jesus will walk with you. That in your difficult times, that Jesus will walk with you. In your troublesome times, that Jesus will walk with you. Why? He has given us his presence to comfort us. Secondly, he's given us his power to call us. His power to call us. Be of good cheer. Why? His presence will comfort us, but his power will call us. Notice Peter in this story, if you would. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, if you will, beloved, Peter had a passion to pursue the Savior. Wait a minute now. He's in the middle of a storm. But in the middle of a storm, notice what the child of God, who's right with God, will say in a storm, bid me to come unto you. Well, this is what the desire needs to be for every believer in your storm. Jesus, help me get close to you. Help me get close to you. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You know what we say in the middle of the storm? Jesus, shut this thing down. Jesus, do something about that wind. Jesus, do something about that lightning. Jesus, quit this rain from coming down. Jesus, silence this thunder. Jesus, get me out this financial wreck. Jesus, heal my wretched body. Jesus, solve my problem. Jesus, answer my question. Jesus, cure my illness. That wasn't the request of Peter. Peter didn't say, isn't it amazing? Can you imagine the boat is tossing and turning? Now, I'm going to say something to you right now. If the boat is tossing and turning and I feel like I'm getting ready to drown, the last thing I want to do in the middle of a storm is get out the boat. Amen. I got a better chance of making it in a storm in a surface that's solid than out in the middle of the water. But you know what Peter began to understand? Peter said, this storm is not the issue. The storm is not what I'm thinking about. There's my Savior. There's my Savior. God, give us some church people, some saved people that are going through it right now that'll say, the biggest desire in my heart right now is right in the middle of this storm. I want to get closer to Jesus. I want to pray more. I want to read more. I want to study more. I want to love more. I want to serve more. Hey, wouldn't it be special if your closest time to Jesus was during your storm? If your closest time to Jesus was during your financial struggle? If your closest time to Jesus was when you were going through your test? If your closest time to Jesus was when you're going through the trials? The sad part about believers is we oftentimes move further from God in the midst of our trials. We should move closer to Him. Listen to me, the goal of the believer is never a life without trials. The goal of the believer is never a morning without clouds. The goal of the believer is never a life without storms. The goal of the believer is never a day without stress. The goal of the believer is never a situation without struggles. The goal of the believer should always be, get me to Jesus. Get me to Jesus. Get me to Jesus. Get me to Jesus. Somebody has got to have enough initiative and enough aggressiveness and enough passion that even in the middle of the storm, I'm still going to pursue Jesus. Notice, you would, the passion to pursue the Savior. Guess what it resulted in? The privilege to portray the supernatural. And he said, come. Now look up at this moment. Before you go saying that Peter walked on the water because he was Jesus' favorite. That's not the truth. Peter didn't walk on the water because he was Jesus' favorite, and Jesus knew he was going to write two books at the end of the New Testament. Peter walked on the water because he asked. Let me say that again. Peter walked on the water because he asked. You know what happens when trials come in our life? We lose all of our ambition. We lose all of our drive. We have no spirit in us to want anything. See, watch it now. I'm watching some Christian people right in this church right now. You've lost the glow in your eyes to do something for God. You used to have it. You used to have it. You used to be trying to, who can I visit? What can I learn? What Bible questions can I ask your preacher? You lost the glow. Why? You came on some storms. You came on some storms. And by the way, remember I told you when we preached on depression from Lamentations chapter 3? It results in allowing our trials to be so overwhelming to us that we actually lose the energy to do anything. Come on. I'm writing your business right now. And there are some Christian people who would never try anything right now in your Christian life because you feel like a storm is the wrong time to be trying new stuff. Could I tell you, a storm is the right time to be trying new stuff. Do you understand something? It's possible that you will soar higher in your storm than you ever did when it was bright and shiny outside. Do you know that it's possible that you'll get more prayers answered when you're going through trials than you ever did when your days were going well? Do you know it's possible for you to perform more supernatural feats when you got sickness in your body, when you got struggles in your life, when you got difficulties you never foresaw? Because that's when you begin to get your eyes off of the stuff and get your mind on the Savior. You find me one other man that ever walked on water. And while the winds are raging, Peter's walking. By the way, the significance was not just that he was walking on the water. The significance was that he was walking on the water. Jesus. You know what that says to me? It says to me that elements in my life that normally drown people, when my passion for Christ is intact, that which normally kills people will become the ground I walk on. How is it that some people go through things and it kills them, and other people go through the same thing and it seems like it props them up? Listen, you take somebody and let them walk on water. Down they go. Peter walks on water and doesn't sink. You know why? You know why? Because God had given him the power. God's power to call us. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm saying in your time of trial, don't back down from soul winning. Don't back down from giving. Oh, Pastor, I wanted to make a missions commitment, but right now things are... No, this would be a good time for you to make one. I wanted to visit, but right now I'm under attack. No, it's a good time for you to visit. I want to get involved in COBA, but the way things are going right now, no, this is a good time for you to get involved. You know why? Because it's when you can't do it on yourself that you've got to depend on his call to do it. Come! 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 What if Peter had said, Lord, if you calm things down, I'll come see you. Lord, if you get this thing, if you get this weather under control, I'll swim out to you. No, he didn't. All he said was, bid me come. You know what it ought to be? It ought to be that when we're going through trials, the only thing we need to walk through the midst of them is a word from the Lord. We don't need a change in circumstances. We don't need a deliverance from turmoil. We don't need some shift in our scenario. All we need is the voice of God saying, come. And guess what? We can come. Notice thirdly, not only his presence to comfort us, his power to call us. Write this down. I like this. His protection to catch us. But, watch it now. Verse 30. When he saw the wind, boisterous. Now wait a minute. Bless you. That's the wind right there. Amen. Don't take this to mean that as soon as he started walking on the water, all of a sudden, the wind picked up worse. It was already blowing. It was already storming. And the steps he had just taken to get to Jesus were steps taken in the middle of the storm. The difference is now he started looking at it. Now, wait a minute. Stop telling Christian people that the reason why your Christian life isn't what it should be is because you're going through some storms and it's just impossible for you to maintain your love for God like you should. Wait a minute. You've walked through storms before. It's not that you're just getting stormed for the first time. It's just that you just stop looking at Jesus and start looking at them storms. And if you look at the storms, watch this now. Notice there was a change in focus. And whenever there's a change in focus from Jesus to the storm, there's always a commencement in fall. In other words, you will always start to fall when you take your eyes off of Jesus. I'm asking you tonight, have you taken your eyes off of him? Be honest. Pastor, I remember when I was walking on water. It amazes me how Christian people can believe God to save them from a life of sin and can't believe God to protect them once he's saved. He started looking. Notice the Bible said when he saw the wind was boisterous, he started to sink. I take that to mean his change in focus happened to make it the commencement of a fall. Notice the cry from the frantic, Lord, save me. You know what I like? I like the compassion from the faith. Hey, I'm glad that when I take my eyes off of him and start to sink, he still saves me. Now, wait a minute. If we're not careful, we'll be so full of pride and refuse to admit we're sinking and drown. I'm talking as a pastor to some Christians tonight who are drowning and won't say nothing. Listen. You don't get saved from drowning just because you come to church. You get saved from drowning because you cried, Jesus, save me. And he reached out his hand and caught him. That's love. That's love. How many times have you followed him halfway and doubted him in the middle of the way? I'm glad he didn't say, you got yourself out here, you sink or swim. I'm glad he didn't say, if you weren't sure you're going to follow me all the way, you should have never signed up. I'm glad that there are men that say they're going to preach and don't preach like they should, but he doesn't give up on you. I'm glad there are folks that come to the altar and say they're going to live right and don't live right, but he doesn't give up on you. I'm glad there are commitments that you've written down and haven't followed through, but it doesn't give up on you. I'm glad that when you shout your testimony 1 month and 3 months later, you're singing the blues. I'm glad it doesn't give up on you, but for heaven's sake, come off your high horse and ask him to save you. Do you want to sing? Cry out. And watch this now. The correction to the faithless. Oh, thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why didn't you trust me? Listen. If you're sinking, look at yourself. Watch yourself. You cannot sink if you're trusting in him. But if you're sinking, you started to doubt. Wait a minute. Why is it that you didn't start sinking till you started doubting? You know what that says to me? Faith works. Now, there's folks dealing with some stuff right now that's bigger than you. But getting saved was bigger than you. Everything you've done up to this point in Christianity was out of your league. You trusted him to get this far. Why are you going to doubt him now? I'm telling you, I watch Christian folk excited about, I'm talking about shouting for the Lord on one certain, the next, nothing. I mean, nothing. No joy, no shout. No amen. Lifeless, lethargic. You know what happened? You left church and started looking at your circumstance. You're going to sink every time. You're going to sink every time. And here's the key. You better call his name before you go under. You hear me? You better call his name before you go under. And quit trying to look cute, look spiritual, not let nobody know how bad off you are when they know anyway. You done told somebody. They done told everybody else. Your business all through here. You're going outside doors, putting in fake tithing envelope, all this kind of stuff, trying to look spiritual, singing and waving your hand in the air. We know you're struggling. It's all over Facebook. People are talking about, have you heard this person is struggling? I hear they're going through a bad. And by the way, not everybody talking is against you. Some folks are actually praying for you. And it's really sad when people have to wait on God to tell them that you're struggling because you're too proud to say it. Lord, save me! I'll tell you something. Maintaining your pride in the presence of people at the expense of drowning on your own is not worth it. Correction for the faith. So for the future. Next time, don't doubt. Lastly, and I'm finished, his presence to comfort us, his power to call us, his protection to catch us, and lastly, his performance to convince us. Notice the Bible said in verse number 32, when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Jesus and Peter got in, and the wind ceased. The incredible calm. Wow! This storm that scared me to death shut down when Jesus got on the boat. The instinctive compulsion. Those on the ship worshiped him. When they saw the way he handled the storm, they bowed down. The instinctive compulsion, the incredible calm, the irrefutable conclusion of a truth. Thou art the Son of God. You know what happened? They are on the other side of the storm and looked at everything he had just done and said, you know what? You are who you say you are. You did do what you say you did. Shame on me for doubting you, because you were right on time, right on schedule, and right all the time. You know, beloved, you can try it, but it will kill you. You can try it, but it will wear you out. You can try it, but it will disgust you. You can try it, but eventually you'll be out of gas. You cannot live your Christian life like this. And I'm telling you, you're some Christians are so predictable. Praise the Lord. You know what that means? Nothing going on. Next week, oh, no, no. I must have had a bad day. Praise the Lord. Just got a paycheck. 3 hours later, oh, it's all gone. Hallelujah! Children all in church. Oh, me alive! Rebellious children. God is good! Clean bill of health. Ah! Bad doctor's report. I've watched it. Gentlemen, look, gentlemen, you're very transparent when you're on that back wall shouting one Sunday and moaning the next. I watch it. So I'm that means I'm living by my circumstance. That's not Bible Christianity. Here's how God wants you to live. Steady. Watch. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of God. And by the way, steady means I'm steady trusting you. It doesn't mean I'm always at the same level. Because truth be told, if my temperament, if my faith in God doesn't move, then my love for God will move. If I stay on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, you know what? God bless me, prosper me, benefit me. I'll be moving on. Amen. But if it's this, did you ever walk on water? Were you ever leading people to the Lord? Did you ever have a good prayer life? Were you ever deep in the Bible? Did you ever give faithfully? Ever? Oh, yeah, I remember. It happened. Start looking around. Start looking at Him. And the goal of the Christian life is never getting out of the storm. It's getting to Jesus. And knowing that He's available, I exhort every believer tonight, be of good cheer. Father, thank you for your precious word. And I'm praying for young people and adults alike who know, they know, what I'm preaching. They know it's real. They know it's geared to them. And they've lost their joy. Lost their excitement. Lost their enthusiasm. And here you come tonight saying, be a good cheer. So God bless this invitation to do it only you can. For Christ's sake, in Jesus' name, amen.